Okay. County Administrator's Report for September 21st, 2021. Item 1. Delaware State Police year-to-date activity report for August 2021 is attached, listing the number of violent crime arrests as well as total traffic charges and corresponding arrests. In addition, DUI and total vehicle crashes investigated are listed. In total, there were 189 troopers assigned to Sussex County for the month of August. Item 2, a reminder, the county will host 5 town hall meetings to provide an overview of the upcoming reassessment process. Public meetings are scheduled for this coming Thursday, September 23rd at the Milton Fire Company from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock, and Thursday, this coming Thursday, the 23rd from 6 to 8 at Del Tech in Georgetown. In addition, there will be a meeting on Monday, September 27th from 6 to 8 at the Delaware National Guard in Bethany, and Wednesday, the 29th at 6 to 8 from Mills at the Millsboro Town Center, and Thursday, September 30th at the Seaford Voluntary Fire Department. That meeting is from 6 to 8. In addition, there will be one virtual session featuring the same presentation on Monday, September 27th from 2 to 4. Anyone interested viewing the virtual session, please see the county's website at sussexcountyde.gov. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Medlars, agriculture farm lease for Bunning Farm and Georgetown parcels.
Mr. President, let me first thank you for moving the work of the working group forward. I think for all the members, I can certainly say we greatly appreciate you taking back the reins and the initiative. And as we said, it's an up or down vote, whatever comes out the other end. I gave you a little bit of background on the farm leases. We have a number of properties, as you know. About 10 of them are under leases in various forms. And wanted to give you two little bits of history. We had a big advertisement for a number of leases in 18 that runs through 22. That was a multi-year event, so we will see that again re-advertised next year. Just recently, the county gained possession of the Bridgeville spray farm that was advertised and awarded by council. That was this year. And now has come up, two parcels have come up. One off Route 54, known as the Bunting Farm, north and south, north of Route 54 and south of 54, as well as a small piece, about 16 acres we own, county owns, off Park Avenue and the railroad tracks. Let's jump to that first. That attracted no bidders. So I have reached out since then to our under contract farmers, and I have yet to get somebody interested to continue farming it, but I'm still working on a couple of them who may be willing to do this. So we do not either have to plant it as a meadow or pay the conservation district to do it.
Sure.
So right now I'm at the point that, can I find somebody who's willing to do it for free? It's not a good piece of land, so there's limited income potential.
Sure.
The Bunting Farm North was the one we wanted to continue to utilize. The Bunting Farm South is the one you had agreed to a land exchange in addition to getting access to all the tax-deed right-of-ways, as well as continue our restoration naturalization efforts with the center of the inland bays and the expansion of our constructed wetland bank, which we already have there for the airport. And you may not know that that's the south piece is encumbered for various reasons. So the north piece, we want to make sure the north piece is almost a poster child for that drainage problem we were talking about. It is crisscrossed by two tax ditches and a number of non-tax ag ditches. Now we've had some significant sedimentation in both of these, so we contacted the Natural Resources Conservation District for they don't call it a buffer plan, but it is a sort of a grass strip which helps the runoff protection. So we want to implement that. In addition, what's key thing, this is one of only two properties the county has where we can apply Class B biosolids. So as you know, for many of my presentations, things can go wrong in the biosolids world.
Hate it when that happens.
You don't hate us as much as me.
I'm not.
So these properties being permitted are the primary insurance and defense against mechanical mishaps on the other end.
Sure.
We had not applied biosolids on this property for 20 years. It was a major effort to get that permit back. A lot of the wells had been plowed over, you name it. There were a lot of issues which had to be addressed. But as of this February, we have the permit back. And I do intend to spread Class B biosolids every year on this permit.
And that's treated, or I mean,
That is stabilized and pathogen reduced.
Yeah.
Class A is called further pathogen reduced. So you have buffer requirements, and I wanted these buffers delineated by these grass strips. Hence, we worked with the NRCS. So that's, you see all these limitations which we apply to this property. Mm-hmm. I had Miss McGee held McGee Farms held the lease before, and she was very, very interested in keeping this piece under farming. But she also very much realized how important this is for the county. So we created in this bid not only an income stream, i.e. a farm lease, but also cost centers where the farmer could say, spreading the Class B biosolids with my manure spreader will cost you X. Maintaining your grass buffers per the NRCS rules will cost you Y. So when you look at the bid allowed for this is how much we pay you and this is how much we want to get paid. So going into this, we did not know whether this would be a net zero, a positive, or a negative for the county. It ended up being a very slight positive. It's not much money, but you have to understand it comes with work. McGee Farms committed to doing all the things I just listed.
They're going to trim all the grass along the perimeter.
Correct, and they will spread the biosolids, and they will maintain and repair any of the wells if they get damaged. Because
and we're getting $75 an acre.
And we're getting whatever the bid was. I should remember by the top of my head.
60 acres is $4,500.
McGee Farms put in a number of 6,000 times 100 acre.
Right, but they get, and then we're paying them $1,500, right?
We're paying them back $1,500. But I was actually pleasantly surprised when we were not charged for the spreading of the biosolids. Because I expected a charge. So we are very pleased with how this turned out. It was a big effort to get there. I was afraid we would get no bids. Mm-hmm. And then we would have got stuck with it doing it ourselves. So it's a win-win. I hope McGee Farms is happy. The county engineering department is very happy. We wholeheartedly recommend we execute the lease.
And you have a motion.
We do have a motion. And I put in the end of the memo, we always have in there, we can also spread Class A in case we don't have Class B for that year.
Sure.
Or we always have other things we require, nutrient management plan, et cetera.
So one question, can they spread on this entire 60 acres or is it limited to a portion?
The entire farm is 75.
Okay.
But when you take the buffers out, 60 tillable acres remain.
Okay.
So we can only spread the Class B on the 60 acres.
You can do the Class
yes.
B on the 60.
Yes.
So little benefit.
Yes.
So
there's some nutrient benefit for McGee Farms,
so
but they can also take the cuttings off the buffer strips.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So Ms. McGee may plan to harvest and bale the hay. Perfectly allowed.
That's a good,
yes.
A good situation for that.
Be moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that the Sussex County Council approves the award of the Bunting Farm Agricultural Farm Lease to McGee Farms for a net annual fee of $4,500 for a 5-year lease.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second,
Mr. Hudson. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will. Yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
I'm going to stay.
I don't see Mr. Ashman. No, I do see Mr. Ashman. He's hiding behind a pole. Here he comes.
Mr. Ashman will take this first item. I'll take the second item.
Okay. Warrington Road annexation update.
So this was basically an update that was requested when we did the annexation of the four parcels on Warrington Road. In order to look at a gravity connection versus the grinder pump connections, we needed an easement across a piece of the buffer common areas of Redden Ridge. We have sent all the information to the homeowners association. We have gotten a response back. We've given them more information. They had a board of directors meeting last Tuesday evening, and the president went on vacation. She will be back tomorrow, and she will contact me on Thursday and give me apparently additional questions from the board on whether they will provide the easement or what they want to, how they want to proceed.
Okay.
We do still have the option of the existing easement out along Warrington Road.
Right.
So we can move forward, but that is the grinder pump option, which one of the homeowners was not in favor of.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Well, you're trying all you can do, so that's...
We're doing what we can do.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Medlars.
We have just a short four-slide presentation. First of all, let me recognize the Honorable Mayor and Vice Mayor of the Town of Slaughter Beach.
Welcome to have you. Thanks for coming.
So, I was talking to the Vice Mayor over the weekend, and he assured me that he's very interested in buffers. Right, Tom? So I hope you learned a lot, so he's good to go. We have you as a resident expert. But if you look at this is a unusual thing that we have the incorporated boundary of a municipal town requesting sewer district recognition as part of a motion on the town's part. When you look over our history, this happened in Bridgeville, this happened in Greenwood, but this did not happen in Bethany Beach. That was different. The residents of Bethany Beach requested to create the sewer district. In this particular case, the town council organized and requested the sewer district as it is allowed under Delaware Code. So that's when you look at the slide, the municipal boundary of the town coincides 100% with the proposed sewer district area. That was not the case in either Bridgeville or Greenwood because they had service areas outside the town. Even service areas which were not contiguous, which after some legal discussions we recognize as existing service territory, but they're legal non-conforming and cannot be expanded. So, no islands, municipal boundary equals sewer district boundary, and anything beyond that in the future has to be contiguous, which is important. So, as I said, there's a history. The town of Slaughter Beach is not new to the sewer world. As a matter of fact, I know that from past exploration efforts. They had consultants work on it. They had hired their own consultants. They actually have engineering reports associated with it. I know they contacted Kent County because I was the county engineer when the initial contacts happened.
Because we've also done it in
yes.
the past as well.
So there's interactions over the years. So, and Mayor Locke decided the time has come, and she took up the mantle again and said, we need to make a decision up or down road on whether we want this or not. And they listed it on, they, not us, listed it on the agenda. We gave a presentation. Mr. Schaefer, Councilman Schaefer was present, gave the council's perspective. And then that all culminated in several follow-up meetings in the town. They were all town meetings held by the town commissioners. And they had a August 9th meeting where they passed the mayor brought the original resolution, which clearly states the request to the county council, and duly authorized. The next step is, the Delaware Code. The overarching piece of the Delaware Code Title IX gives the council the authority to react to such requests, because now you can establish this, saying because Slaughter Beach determined it is conducive to the preservation of public health, we will concur and issue a companion resolution establishing the district area. So we the engineering and planning section recommend the establishment of the area. and our attorney has reviewed the resolution, and we do have a short title when we get to it. I want to quickly talk about the next steps. We would review, assuming you would follow suit with the town council, we would then take it on in-house to review the existing engineering report, the most recent one, as well as some past efforts. We will also take into consideration some of the discussions the president and I had about possible routing and how this fits in the bigger picture of the comp plan. We will then come back and circle back with you and bring something to you to consider before we would submit it to the funding agencies. Once we get that clear back, we would then use it as the basis of the funding application. And please keep in mind, the funding application is not the same as the notice of intent. We will file the notice of intent just to put it on the radar of the state. Hey, we're working on this, and we can do this next, I think, by the end of January. So that we will definitely file it. That's a three-page document. We will file the notice of intent. But in the meantime, we will work on bullet one. Once we have bullet one covered, and we do have a, let's say, a funding application suitable report, and we are on the what's called project priority list, which will be decided next year, then we will file the application, and that will be a joint engineering and finance department effort. Now, we, that being the finance director and the county engineer, have carefully read the town ordinance, the town resolution. And no, it's an ordinance. Sorry, take that back. It is an ordinance. And it has a paragraph in it which speaks to what the council of the town feels appropriate for an annual assessment. And that number is here, so we will honor this and bring it forward to you with a non-favorable recommendation should we not meet this requirement. We believe it is a reasonable number because several of the town council members had reached out to us to establish this number, but I want to make sure that everybody understands it. Our district area creation is an unconditional expansion of the district. However, the recommendations of the finance director and the county engineer, we feel bound by the request of the town council.
Sure.
So, I also want to point out, this will be a battle, and the battle is number four. The project will happen. These are all state-maintained roads. In the town of Slaughter Beach, I take this back, with the exception of the very southern tip of Slaughter Beach is a private road. However, to get through Slaughter Beach, collect the wastewater, and send it to where it never needs to go is a 100%, is a 99% delta lift. And we need to recognize it here, and that's why the last one's on there. It is important for us, for cost containment, to come up with a reasonable approach with the department, because otherwise the cost can quickly spiral out of control. And that can take in itself, that political process working with the department. President will be involved. There's no escape from the bench before this happens, right, Mike? Mm. And so it is a lengthy process. So I have promised nothing less than 5 years because it would be unrealistic to think so.
Well, hopefully, because it is an issue of the health and safety of the public, our friends at DelDOT will be more than anxious to work the best they can with us.
That would be great.
Mr. President, on that note, I would like to thank the mayor and the vice mayor and the council. This will do tremendous things to protect not only the habitat, but the wetlands, the inland bays, the estuaries out there. I appreciate, being a former mayor of a coastal town, how important this is, and I give you guys a lot of credit.
Mr. Ashman can read the short title.
Who's got the short title?
Or the county attorney.
Whoever's got the short title.
You
Ashman, you got it?
You have it?
I got it.
Okay. You.
The
This is a resolution to establish the Slaughter Beach area of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District under the provisions of Title IX of Delaware Code.
Pleasure, counsel.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Good luck. Good luck. Hopefully, it'll all be happy in Slaughter Beach. Okay, we have no introduction proposed zoning ordinances, so we can move to council member comments. Council member comments. Anybody? Council member comments. Hearing none, we're going to move into public hearings. Mr. Whitehouse, come right on down here.
Made all the comments.
Come up here and do something.
Made all the comments today I intend to make for a while.
There you go. That's all right. That's all right.
Okay, Mr. President, while the shift's taking place, I'll go ahead and start reading the rules. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during its hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County, in its zoning land use decisions, does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, source of income, sex, creed, marital status, age, gender identity, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken in consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each application shall be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the commission hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the commission hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may request the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. There will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless the council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak and are present in the chambers, you're required to come to the front and stand at the speaker stand and state your name and home address before you make a statement. If you participate telephonically, please state your name and address before you give your statement. When you speak, please turn off any electronics and make sure there's no background noise or discussions. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to me and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. If testimony is repetitive, then you may be asked to move on to another topic. Remember, it is the quality of the testimony that is persuasive, not the quantity. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the commission has not issued its recommendation report at the time of the council hearing, council will defer action on the application in those cases. In those cases only, council shall accept and consider written comments from the public on the commission's recommendation to the council for a period of 5 calendar days following the commission's issuance of its recommendations. This does not preclude the council from requesting additional information as otherwise permitted. Furthermore, once the record is closed, the council, on my advice, will not read or respond substantively to any mail, email, text, or engage in any conversations about the application. Their decision will be made only based on the record established at both the council and commission hearings. The first matter we're going to discuss today is a proposed amendment to Chapter 115, Article 20, Roman numeral, by amending Sections 115 and 156. And Mr. Wojcicki.
Thank you, Mr. President. In just a moment, I'm going to yield to Mr. Robertson to summarize the ordinance. But before I do so, I just want to confirm that the application has been noticed and we've received zero comments in support and zero comments in opposition. The ordinance was subject to a public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission at its meeting of August 26th of this year. And at the conclusion of that public hearing, the Commission recommended that County Council adopt the ordinance as introduced. Thank you.
Thank you. This should be hopefully short and sweet. It's one page. It just addresses sort of a potential glitch or loophole in our code about density calculations in that, you know, previously in our code you could use the entire boundary of a property to calculate density regardless of the zoning district of that property. So if it was a split zone, you'd be able to use the whole property for, you know, for example, only half the property was zoned a certain way. This makes it clear that those area calculations are based upon the area of that particular zoning district without regard to the property boundaries themselves. It's as simple as that.
So if you have a theoretical 100 acres, half of it is GR and half of it is MR, you'd get what, 4 plus 4 times 15?
Whatever that math is, yeah.
So you get 100 plus 200, you get 300, not four for the entire 100 acres.
Yes, that's correct.
Right. So you would get zoning for the MR part and zoning for the GR part.
Right.
Right.
So you'd end up with 300 combined.
Yeah. Yep.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
In that example, is that property two distinct tax parcels, or is it all one parcel?
No, we have, so if each zoning district is a tax parcel, in other words, the boundary of the property follows the boundary of the zoning district, you know, that really isn't affected by this. It's where you have one
subdivided by a zoning line.
Doesn't follow a boundary line.
Yeah. I think when they did those zoning delineations years ago, I think they just took a pencil and just drew it on the that regard.
Well, yeah, right, and a perfect example was, you know, the way Route 1 was laid out between Rehoboth and Lewis. That was 600 feet back from the edge of wherever Route 1 was at the time without regard to property lines at all.
Just drew a line.
Yeah, just drew a line,
Any question to council?
Would this have had any impact on the application we had up there on Cave Neck Road?
Yes, sir.
Related to that?
Yes, it is.
And others. I mean, that's not an isolated one.
This is to fix that loophole.
Okay, Mr. Moore, keep on with the hearing.
Any questions from council? Is there anyone else? Is there anyone that would like to speak concerning this proposed zoning ordinance? Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in this regard? Seeing none in the room, is there anyone that's listening remotely that would like to opine on this matter? Operator, could you please check?
At this time, there is currently no one on the line.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. At this time, we can close the public hearing on this matter. If council desires, close public record.
Close public hearing. It's okay with council. Close public record. And Mr. Moore, a short title.
Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 115, Article 20, Roman numbers, by amending Section 115-156 to clarify that the lot area within Tables 2, Roman numeral, and 3, Roman numeral, refers to the lot area within each particular zoning district.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.